بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet and the believers of his family and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who follow their path and to give us a steadfastness on this and to make us live on it and die on it until we meet him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we move then, inshallah ta'ala, to the next verse now, which is verse number 76. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ قَالُوا أَتُحَدِّثُونَهُمْ بِمَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لِيُحَاجُّوكُمْ بِهِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. This is verse 76 now. Okay, this verse I'll get to. Okay, 76, right. And when they... وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. And when they, the Jews, meet those who believe, meaning the Muslims, they say, we believe. وَإِذَا خَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. But when they meet one another in private, they say, shall you Jews tell the Muslims what Allah has revealed to you? Meaning about the description of the Prophet ﷺ and all the truth that they knew. لِيُحَاجُّوكُمْ بِهِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ. That they may argue with you Jews about it before your Lord. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Have you Jews then no understanding? In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions, that when they, the Jews, meet those who believe, they say, we believe. Meaning, we entered faith like you, believing in Allah and His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قالوا, they say, meaning with their tongues. This is when they meet the believers. However, when they meet one another in private, they come and say in a way which is denunciation and amazement and exclamation, how come you tell the believers of your knowledge concerning the correctness of Muhammad's message? لِيُحَاجُّوكُمْ بِهِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ. So that they can use it as an argument to establish a proof against you with your Lord. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. This is a scolding. Where are your minds? What's happening to you? If you tell them about this, and that he was sent with the truth, and that he is a prophet, then all of that will be used as argument against you before Allah on the day of resurrection. So, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. So what's the matter with you? Are you ignorant and thus you don't understand? Or you became foolish and lost your senses? Then Allah said, أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يَعْلِنُونَ. The last verse, please. Verse 77. Know they, Jews, not that Allah knows what they conceal and what they reveal? So Allah knows all of that, what they conceal and what they tell the people in public. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, how come they come and argue with each other, the Jews, and blame each other with this matter? That they come to the Prophet and to his companions and denounce his prophethood? Not knowing that Allah knows all of this. So whether they attest or not, verily Allah knows everything about this matter, the points of benefit. Number one, the presence of hypocrites amongst the Jews. The presence of hypocrites amongst the Jews. Because Allah said, when they meet the believers, they say, "We believe." You know, on their tongues. Secondly, that it is from the habits of the Jews is their acting treacherously. Because when they come and see the believers, they say something, and when they are amongst each other, they say something else. So this is a kind of treason. And that amongst them is those who blame each other for making the truth clear. And from the points of benefit is that knowledge is a revelation from Allah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whomever He wishes, enlightening one's heart. And from the points of benefit, that the believers and the disbelievers will argue before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection. Because in this statement, لِيُحَاجُّوكُمْ بِهِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ, so that they may use it as an argument against you before your Lord. Similarly, we read in Surah Al-Mu'minun 23:15, ثم إنكم بعد ذلك لميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون. After that, surely you will die. The next verse, please. ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون. Then again, surely you will be resurrected on the day of resurrection. ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون. This is another verse that verily on the day of resurrection you will argue against each other before your Lord. And from the points of benefit is praising the intellect and wisdom. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, don't you understand? This is scolding their action. And that in this there is a direction for man to be sensible and understand things, and that he shouldn't make any step except after knowing where he is going to place his feet, and that he doesn't speak except after weighing the consequences of what he's going to say, and not to act except again looking at the outcome, remembering that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Allah and in the last day, let him say what's good or keep silent. And from the points of benefit is that the disbelief of the Jews regarding the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was based or came after knowledge. That's why they received the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They deserved the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they denied the Prophet, refused him or rejected him, disbelieved in him based on knowledge, meaning knowing rather. Knowing otherwise that he was the truth. And from the points of benefit is scolding at the Jews for their adulteration of the text and the words. Where is this deducted from? This is deducted from the saying of Allah, don't they know that Allah knows what they conceal and what they make or say in the open, and what they do openly, what they declare? And from the points of benefit in these verses is affirming the comprehensive and general knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the points of benefit is the threat against opposing the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this came in the context of what Allah said, أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ, don't they know that Allah knows that which they hide and what they utter and what they declare? The benefit which we want to a little bit elaborate upon now is the bad quality of changing the words from their proper places. And this is divided into two types: change of letter or change of word. Second, changing the meaning. As to the changing of the wording, this may take place by changing the structure of the word and the like. Like for example, take this example in Surah An-Nisa, and give me your attention as to the pronunciation, because this is a very vivid example of this alteration. In Surah An-Nisa 4:164, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ, please listen to my recitation, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ, اللَّهُ with a ضمة, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And
to Musa, Allah spoke directly. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. So some people who want to deny the speech of Allah and that Allah spoke directly to Musa, they alter the word. In this case, the title Allah. Listen to how they read it. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ. You see, in the beginning, Allahu. In their changing of the word, they read وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. This is changing the words, because the difference between the two is that it changes the meaning totally. In the first case with the Dhamma, which is the proper case, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, the one who spoke to Musa is Allah. In the other situation, the speech refers to Musa, not to Allah. You see the difference now? In one word, what occurs? وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ, and in the other, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ. See the major difference? The whole meaning changes. Sometimes the changing of the word does not alter the meaning, but it is still a change. Like, for example, if you read in Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is the correct. We're going to focus about this word. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. Now, if you read it like the following, listen to me now. Alhamdulillahi Rabbah. You see, there is first Rabbi, and the other is the movement on the by the fatha. Rabbah, Rabbi. You see the difference? If you read them either way, the meaning is not a change, but it is still. If you utter it Rabbah, then this is a change of the word, a change in its letters, and therefore this is one time. Is that clear to you, inshallah? Now, okay, read, let us read together now. Try to pronounce with me. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is correct. Clear? Is this clear? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now listen to me now. The other reading. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Which one is wrong? The first or the second? The second. But here, in this example, the meaning did not change. The meaning did not change. Is that clear now? The meaning did not change, although there was a change in the word. Okay, although there was a change in the word. Is that clear to you now, inshallah? Okay. However, concerning the change of the meaning, this is where many people had fell in. They altered the meaning from its apparent and obviously understood condition to a different one without a dalil, without an evidence. Like, for example, الرحمن على العرش استوى. الرحمن, the most beneficent, arose over the عرش. استوى, So they said, those who changed the meaning, they said, the meaning of istawa is istawla, meaning took over, that Allah took over the throne, took charge of the throne. This is a change in the meaning, and it's very dangerous, a change. Is this second example clear, inshallah? And this is forbidden. No, we're not talking about the mistakes. We're talking about those which are changes, intentional changes. Like in this case, for example, changing the word to mean something else. You see the point? This has nothing to do with the non-Arab. This is it's not applicable. It's not applicable to them. So don't worry about it, inshallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse, now 78, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. And there are among them the Jews, unlettered people, who know not the book, but they trust upon false desires, and they but guess. So from amongst the Jews there are those who are unlettered, and the unlettered people are those who don't know how to read nor to write and write. Here Allah said, and there are among them Jews and unlettered people who know not the book, illa amaniyya, but they trust upon false desires. Meaning, here it means, except reading it without understanding. Reading it without understanding. And anyone who doesn't understand, then he is like the one who doesn't know how to read, because he doesn't benefit from his reading. There Allah said about them also, and they but guess, because the man who doesn't know except the letters, he has no knowledge, he's guessing. Al-Ummi, Ummiyun, Allah said about them here, from them are Ummiyun. Ummiyun. And the Ummi is the unlettered, who doesn't know how to read and to write, or to write. It is in relation to Al-Umm. Al-Umm, the mother. Because when the person is discharged from the belly of his mother, he doesn't know anything. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nahl 16:78. So when he is born and leaves his mother's, Al-Umm, the mother, Al-Umm. You know, Umm means mother. And Ummi is the unlettered. And the relationship, because when he is born from his mother, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and Allah has brought you out from the wombs of your mothers while you know nothing. And he gave you hearing, sight, and heart that you might give thanks. Alhamdulillah. So from the children of Israel, therefore, there are those who are ummiyun, unlettered. They don't know of the book except reading it, without understanding what it means. The benefits of this verse. that those unlettered or ummiya is a description for those who don't read, and those who read but don't understand as well. Also those who don't write. And from the benefits is blaming those who don't give attention to the meanings of the Book of Allah. And thirdly, those who don't know the meaning, they say and utter by way of guessing. They but guess. So the layman may read the Quran from the beginning to the end without understanding its meaning. So if he speaks about a particular ruling, then his assessment is only based upon guess, because in reality he doesn't know, and he's not going to be able to know unless he understands the meaning. And from the benefits that making judgment by guessing is something blameworthy, and it is from the description of the Jews, and this is very much present with many people who like always to be called scholars. You see them giving religious verdicts without knowledge, and sometimes they may make fatwa which is in direct opposition to the Quran and Sunnah while they know not. And from this we know, okay Fleming, from this we know that the Muslim should be keen about understanding the Book of Allah. That the Muslim should be keen about understanding the Book of Allah, taking its tafsir, its exegesis and explanation from the reliable books of tafsir, or from the mouths of the sincere scholars whom he trusts their knowledge. And from the benefits that the imitator is not a person of knowledge, certainly not a scholar, because he doesn't understand the meaning. Al-Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr rahimahullah said that the scholars are in agreement that the imitator is not considered from the scholars. And Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr's statement is correct. Al-Muqallid laysa bi'alim. The imitator is not a scholar. He is only a copy of a book. Rather, the book is even more precise than him, because he may forget. And it shouldn't be understood here that we hold imitation to be totally blameworthy. Rather, imitation in its proper place is mandatory, because Allah said, فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. And ask the people of knowledge in case you know not or you knew not. This is in Surah An-Naml, verse 43. It should be An-Nahl. An-Nahl, not An-Naml. An-Nahl, which is 1643. Yeah. So ask of those who know the scripture, and this covers the people of knowledge if you know not. This brings the end of today's session, inshallah ta'ala, and then we continue tomorrow the rest as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.